morning, colleagues, and thank you for joining us for the final day of this Africa Month Symposium, hosted by the African Peer Review Mechanism, the Nelson Mandela School of Public Governance, and the University of Cape Town Convocation. We've been focusing on Africa's innovation in the global fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. And perhaps I should pause a little bit and thank Professor Eddie Maloka for his collaboration, his leadership. This is not the first time we are hosting a joint event to celebrate Africa Month, and it is through his leadership that we're able to do so. And so this year we host it under different conditions or circumstances as a result of COVID-19. Our 5 online sessions this week provide an extremely worthwhile opportunity to share best practices, strategies, and responses to COVID-19 from across the continent. And we are proud to be celebrating Africa, even more so in these turbulent times, which call us to rise to many challenges. Africa Day celebrates the successes of the Organization of African Unity, which was formed in Addis Ababa on 25 May 1963, and later became the African Union. This celebration provides us with an opportunity to promote African unity and deeper regional integration, as well as to signal our commitment to a common destiny for our continent. Our co-hosting of the symposium has reflected a spirit of goodwill, as well as shared ideals and commitment to good governance, as well as working together to help solve Africa's problems. The role of the African Peer Review Mechanism, which is an autonomous entity of the African Union, is to promote policies, standards, and best practices that lead to good governance in member states. UCT Convocation provides a platform for alumni to actively participate and critically engage in pertinent issues affecting the university community at large. And the Nelson Mandela School of Public Governance, based here at UCT, promotes strategic public leadership by bringing together policymakers, experts, researchers, and leaders in society around key policy issues. And partnerships such as these are vital. Good governance and leadership are critical in the way we navigate through this unprecedented time and embrace the future of our continent. So today, we will hone in on Pan-African reflections on leadership and good governance during COVID-19. We look forward to views of our panelists, including Ntate Mcebisi Jonas, the chairperson of the MTN Group, and South Africa's former Deputy Finance Minister, Ambassador Saeed Jeannette, Senior Advisor in Accord, Special Envoy of the UN Secretary General for Great Lakes Region, and Dr. Bongani Dulani, Senior Lecturer for Political and Administrative Studies at the University of Malawi, and Dr. Kwamaka Kifuke, Independent Consultant in Leadership and Sustainable Development in Africa. The plan was that the session would be moderated by Dr. Shanil Haricharan, Academic Director of the Nelson Mandela School of Public Governance. I'm hoping that all of them are present here today. This afternoon's panel on COVID-19 philanthropy on the continent will feature Karl Manlan, Chief Executive of Ecobank Foundation, Bongiwe Mlangeni, Chief Executive of the Social Justice Initiative, and Bulela Ngewana, Director of the Open Society Foundation in South Africa. This discussion will be moderated by Dr. Beginkosi Moyo, Chair of the Africa Center for Philanthropy and Social Investment at the Wits Business School. Professor Eddie Maloka, Chief Executive of the African Peer Review Mechanism, and of course, President of Convocation here at UCT, and Professor Faisal Ismail, Director Designate of UCT's Mandela School of Public Governance, will wrap up our 3-day symposium this afternoon. Across the 3 days of this symposium, we have drawn from a range of views, sectors, and backgrounds. And this is because our responses to COVID-19 require thoughtful input and cooperation across the broad spectrum of African experience. This continent represents so many different people, many living in poverty and violence. While many challenges have emerged from this pandemic, we were facing many challenges even before we heard of COVID-19. My hope is that our responses to this pandemic will serve as a catalyst to respond effectively to our historic challenges as a continent. For example, the African Union's 2020 theme for Africa Day this year is silencing the guns, creating conducive conditions for Africa's development to achieve the goal of a conflict-free Africa. Violence and conflict have plagued our continent for centuries. We have seen how easily violence arises even during lockdown in South Africa. When actions of members of the police force led to an investigation this month by the Independent Police Investigative Directorate. While COVID-19 has saturated our news and conversations and impacted our decisions over the past few months, we must not forget the many people in Africa who have lived in the shadow of conflict and war, as well as gender-based violence in their own homes. We must not allow COVID-19 to diminish our resolve to silence the guns across Africa. Violent conflict is one of the biggest barriers to development and education. When fighting breaks out, schools in conflict and violence-torn areas are often forced to close. This often starts as a temporary measure, but can become permanent. It has become a pattern in war zones in Africa. This has devastating impacts on children and young people, many of whom have to abandon their dreams of completing their education and setting themselves up for a better life. According to the African Union, just over half of the countries in Africa have endorsed the Safe Schools Declaration, an intergovernmental political commitment to protect students, teachers, schools, and universities from the worst effects of armed conflicts. All African countries have been urged to endorse and implement the declaration to promote a safe and conflict-sensitive education. The AU has raised the need to put in place alternative education programs, free education, safe and appropriate school infrastructure, and access to technologies in remote areas and emergency situations. These goals must not fall by the wayside simply because we have to deal with COVID-19. Education has a profound impact in promoting good governance, democracy, and peace. Countries across Africa have seen the overwhelming benefits of resolving conflict through education and engaging with people across communities and sectors. Education can build peace by contributing to political, economic, and social transformation in post-conflict society. It has the power to shift attitudes and behaviors against violence. Universities have a critical role to play in engaging students in debates about legacies and causes of conflict. We need to look at how reconciliation and forgiveness have been able to shape societies leading to healing. We need to honor our peacemakers and learn from them, and we have a lot of them on the continent. Universities and institutions can play a major role by raising awareness of the roots and causes of conflict, by providing people with the skills and knowledge of how to respond to conflict in a peaceful, constructive, and collaborative way. Education has helped democracy to push ahead in Africa. In recent years, most African states have started accepting multi-party systems of governance and the rule of law and human rights. With the help of active citizenship, countries are also becoming far better at fulfilling their democratic obligations. We can now sow the seeds of peace through education, engagement, and good governance that is transparent and is in the interest of the people of our countries. This also applies to how we apply scientific approaches to challenges such as COVID-19. The pandemic has extended its tentacles deep into our countries. President Cyril Ramaphosa, in his role as chair of the AU, said this week, and I quote, "COVID-19 knows no borders, nationality, or skin color," close quote. In our different countries and across our borders, we need to rise above our differences and deepen our solidarity as we face this escalating humanitarian crisis which threatens to scuttle our development gains. This week, the World Health Organization reported that 52 countries in Africa had recorded more than 100,000 known COVID-19 cases. More than 3,000 people have died so far from the virus in Africa. While we haven't seen the scale of COVID-19 that has ravaged developed countries in Europe and in the United States, the future is uncertain. But this crisis has also created opportunities to work together like never before and to make this a defining moment for Africa. We must play a critical part in coming up with solutions to our continent and our world. This includes being involved in clinical trials in Africa and generating research that will provide solutions for the COVID-19 pandemic. As COVID-19 tightened its grip on countries in the north earlier this year, a flurry of COVID-19 clinical trials were registered. This is, of course, essential, but it also raises concerns. Nature reported on the 3rd of April that of the more than 300 clinical trials that have been conducted for COVID-19, most are in China and in South Korea, with Europe and the United States in close pursuit. Sadly, very few were taking place in Africa, Latin America, and South Asia, Southeast Asia, which are critical areas where the virus could surge next. There have been some moves to shift this uneasy balance. A group of scientists, physicians, funders, and policymakers from over 70 institutions in over 30 countries have launched the COVID-19 Clinical Research Coalition, which aims to accelerate COVID-19 research in Africa, Latin America, Eastern European, and Asian countries. This has included researchers from UCT. Other lobby groups and initiatives have emerged as well to push for more COVID-19 research and trials in Africa and the developing world. We can ask why. Well, it is essential for Africa to take part in all levels of clinical trials for a possible COVID-19 vaccine or any medical treatment that could save lives. The world is a global village when it comes to pandemics such as COVID-19. There is no need for us as Africa to isolate ourselves and say we do not want to cooperate with Western scientists. We need to work together for the sake of all people, including all Africans. Because problems of Africa are problems of the world, and problems of the world are problems on Africa. COVID has emphasized that fact. There are sound medical reasons for testing a vaccine in different kinds of communities, including low-income countries. Prior experience has demonstrated that people in different countries may have different underlying conditions that cause them to respond differently to vaccine candidates. More specifically, it has been found that a virus may develop different strains in different populations. So a vaccine that is effective in Europe may be less effective in Africa or South America. Against this backdrop, the notable absence of developing nations from COVID-19 treatment trials around the world should be a true cause of concern for all of us. The World Health Organization has called for more African nations to participate in its solidarity trial, which will evaluate the effectiveness of four possible drugs or drug combinations to treat COVID-19 in thousands of patients around the world in comparison with the standard of care. Researchers are urging faster action on clinical research in countries with ill-prepared health systems to try to minimize the effects of the pandemic there. The World Health Organization has said that clinical trials in resource-poor settings are also essential for its coordinating role in the global response to COVID-19. It could help the World Health Organization to make evidence-based decisions on policy and practice in a bid to save lives. The COVID-19 crisis presents an opportunity for African scientists to provide critical insights into the characteristics of the virus and effective strategies for its treatment. Insights that could help humanity respond more quickly and effectively in future pandemics. In his remarks to commemorate Africa Day, The director of the World Health Organization commended the continent for having only 1.5% of the world's recorded cases of COVID-19 and less than 0.1% of deaths. He pointed out that Africa was the least affected region globally in terms of the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths reported to the World Health Organization. Of course, this situation can change. It is early days, and we have to remain more vigilant than ever. The World Health Organization has lauded many African countries for responding rapidly to curb the spread of COVID-19. South Africa, for instance, went into lockdown in the early days of the virus reaching us, which is why we are conducting this symposium online. The pandemic has forced us into an excruciating balancing act between stemming the spread of the virus, maintaining the economy, and staving off hunger. But such bold decisions have had to be taken. African countries have also been guided by a comprehensive strategy formulated by the African Union. African countries have been credited by the World Health Organization for our experience and expertise in tackling infectious diseases such as polio, measles, Ebola, yellow fever, and influenza. In Southern African countries, particularly South Africa, we have some of the world's foremost clinicians and researchers in preventing and controlling the spread of TB and HIV. Our countries could learn important lessons. Other countries could learn important lessons from our continent. We need to harness our resources and insist that we contribute to knowledge that will help save lives. Focusing on the science now will also help us in time to change the trajectory where Africa is simply seen as a recipient of research conducted in the West. Currently, less than 2% of clinical trials covering all diseases and conditions are conducted on the African continent. This has led to medicines not being optimized for African patient population. It affects the doses we take as well as the dosing regimes. This can lead to inferior treatment outcomes as well as concerns about toxicity. And this situation needs to change. COVID-19 offers a window of opportunity to raise the profile of African research and encourage investment in science on our continent. It would help us to reduce Africa's dependence on imports of medicinal and pharmaceutical products. We have the ability to seed a drug discovery and development industry that could create jobs and a value chain of investment. We need cooperation between Africa's emerging entrepreneurs, investors, and industries. As African nations, we also need to promote the fair governance of life-saving medical treatment. On 14th May, President Ramaphosa joined 139 other heads of states and former heads of state and other prominent public figures in a letter advocating for the people's vaccine. The letter stated that, and I quote, "Governments and international partners must unite around a global guarantee which ensures that when a safe and effective vaccine is developed, it is produced rapidly at scale and made available for all people in all countries free of charge." Close quote. The World Health Organization has embraced a proposal to create a voluntary pool to collect patent rights, regulatory test data, and other information that could be shared for developing drugs, vaccines, and diagnostics to ensure, for instance, that COVID-19 medical products are accessible to poorer populations. I believe that our continent can not only survive, but thrive in a post-COVID world. Our young people are using social media to push for social change, and they need our support and guidance. The virus is bringing into sharp relief the fact that the old ways of life and the economic choices that have fostered poverty and inequality are unsustainable. South Africa was experiencing this even before the pandemic. Our economy was downgraded to junk status just as we were going into lockdown. But now the entire world is facing an economic crisis. And we know that even more changes are coming. I have come to realize that for education to be relevant for the kind of world the students of today want to build, we have to allow them to help reshape our educational institutions and point out our blind spots, even when it's uncomfortable. Universities can no longer rely only on the traditional Western model of thinking. Instead, we need to develop curricula and an institutional culture that embraces the diversity of our young generation. The challenges sparked by COVID-19 have already spurred many Africans, young and old, into action across the continent. Individuals and teams at UCT provide some local examples. Lynn Remin-Zowel, a PhD candidate in computational neuroscience, has designed a dashboard to offer South Africans a comprehensive overview of the latest coronavirus statistics. It has now gained international traction. Since creating it in late March, Lynn has been inundated with requests for the design of similar dashboards around the world. And UCT alumnus Tami Shiklas has built in supply a centralized marketplace that connects those who have personal protective equipment to those who need it the most. He has already registered more than 500 suppliers, 50 million personal protective equipment items, and over 200 organizations wanting to purchase PPEs. Through his work with the Southern African HIV Clinician Society, Tamir has been alerted to the needs of doctors in rural areas who also lack the required PPEs and fall out of the ambit of public hospitals that are sufficiently covered by the government. UCT's Knowledge Translation Unit, in partnership with the Western Cape Department of Health, has developed, printed, and distributed a series of 3 million leaflets and posters in 4 languages to bring essential practical information to community members on everything from how to wear a mask properly to how to clean surfaces, what to do to protect people with chronic conditions, and a step-by-step guide for health workers on how to manage and consult with someone with COVID-19. These resources are also used in Nigeria, Ethiopia, and Brazil. Universities across South Africa are working on projects that focus on the COVID-19 pandemic. UCT's Faculty of Health Sciences has established a COVID-19 research task team comprised of senior academics in the fields of infectious diseases, medical virology, human biology, and public health, and family medicine to help manage the pandemic in the country and develop ways to deal with other future outbreaks. Among other aspects, researchers are investigating diagnostics and potential tests of immunity, as well as developing vaccine candidates, laboratory reagents, and therapeutic treatment trials for COVID-19 patients. I have been quoting the late Winston Churchill several times since the pandemic started, and he said, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." And I think this is an important quote to hang on to in this time of crisis. Across the continent, we are witnessing examples of great courage, great compassion and ingenuity in response to the COVID-19 crisis. We must grab the opportunity it presents to harness these experiences and apply their lessons to the many challenges this continent will face long after the COVID-19 has passed. This is a perfect time to re-examine our governance practices and forge new ways to lead Africa into a better future. And that's why these engagements in celebration of Africa Day are important. Thank you very much.